Well, good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
And I realized in my 20s, you know, having $1 million home and driving a G-Wagon, I was still scared that people were going to think I didn't have any money.
Welcome to the Chiseled and Called podcast. I am your host, Brittany Dawn, and today I have Kayla Kraft as my guest, and we're diving into all things in relation to pursuing your goals, chasing your calling, and stepping into exactly who God has called you to be. She is a mom of three, an author, an angel investor, and a motivational speaker. So without further ado, let's hop in. Thank you so much for being here today, Kayla. It's so awesome having you on the podcast. Welcome to Chiseled and Called.
Yay! I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, of course. And I think there's a little bit of a lag, but that's okay. My podcast team can edit that out in case any of the listeners are hearing that. So let's jump into this. So you are in Newport Beach, California, which I'm so jealous of. It looks, just even like the light coming in your window, I'm like, I bet it's beautiful there right now. It's cold here in Texas today. Mm-hmm. Before we dive into all things entrepreneurship and stepping into your calling, could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Of course. So I feel like, you know, I'm 36 now. And when I think back of when I first got started with entrepreneurship, it feels like there's been so many lives that have happened, you know, along the way, because you really kind of evolve. God doesn't show you the full picture, you know, of everything you're going to have to go through and in order to become the person he wants you to be. And so I'll take you back all the way to my childhood, because it's really important, I think, that people understand their story of origin, right? I was raised by a single mom, and my parents actually got divorced when I was around 5 years old. My dad was a drug addict, and then he would continue to be a drug addict. He still is today. And he would just go in and out of jail for most of my life. So I had a pretty much absent father, and my mom took on both the mother-father role at a young age, which caused me to, you know, kind of grow up at 5 years old.
Yeah.
I started to realize, okay, I can't depend on people. And I remember my first job was a babysitter. Then I made bath salts and sugar scrubs to go on my first mission trip in junior high. And I don't know, I was just always doing something to make money so I could do the things I wanted to do. And the one thing that my mom, you know, my mom's an amazing person, but, you know, she was still figuring out her way when I was a child. And she always took me to church on Wednesday and Sunday. And that really shaped me into the person I am today, because I'm a huge person of faith. And I just always, I never had a desire to do bad things. I just wanted to follow God. Wow. And you know that that's really a God's hand of protection,
yeah,
and favor over our lives. And that led me to just becoming a nurse. Then as a nurse, I became an entrepreneur. And here we are today. I just wrote a book called What Do You Really Want? It's somewhere over here. And I'm just teaching people how to live their best lives, but follow God at the same time.
That's so beautiful. And what a testimony too. Like, I love that the Lord so clearly had his hand of protection over you your whole life, that you were able to say, like, you look back and you can see where God was protecting you from stepping into something that was either a danger zone or was going to pull you off of the path that he had laid out for you. And that's just so beautiful, because that is not my story. I was all over the place and did all the things that I shouldn't have done, but God was so grace. He had so much grace and mercy for me, and he was so faithful to pursue me and chase me down. And so, yeah, I'm so interested by your story and the fact that you were an ER nurse and now you're in this, you know, you're doing your own thing, blazing your own path. So could you maybe talk about, like, what it was that, what was your aha moment? What was it that you were like, I want to do something else? Were you unhappy in your calling? Were you just like not fully content? Like, what was it? Because I'm sure there's a lot of nurses, honestly, listening to this that are curious about that as well.
Yeah, I talk about this in the book because it's so fascinating to me that I had an extremely chaotic childhood. And so then I would choose an extremely chaotic career as an ER nurse. And so I found myself, you know, I was comfortable in the chaos. But when I started to have kids, I would cry myself to sleep at night because I'd see, you know, kids that would die from drownings, from head injuries. And it started to affect my personality where I was just scared of everything. And I mean, Cooper would sneeze. That's my oldest. He would sneeze and I'd be like, oh my gosh, like something's wrong. You know, I need to take him in. And I didn't like who I was becoming. And so, you know, I loved helping people. That wasn't going to change, but I didn't like what the nursing was doing to me. And I didn't really have a lot of mentors in my life that spoke into me in my career. It was more like they all hated their jobs. So I knew enough to know, okay, if something doesn't change right now, it's going to be 10 years down the line and I'm going to be like them. And I didn't want that life. And so I was introduced to network marketing, which is, you know, you get paid to sell products to people and you build a team. Okay. Mm-hmm. So some people have certain opinions about that, but that's what really catapulted my entrepreneur career at 23 years old. I started making six figures. And so I was like, okay, there's another way, you know, of doing life. And I could make my own hours. I can work when Cooper's asleep. And I wanted to have more kids at that point. And so it just, that lifestyle made more sense for me. And we ended up making a lot of money, which when you have more money, you just have more options. And my husband and I started to go, okay, like, well, we could do anything we want. What is it that we want to do? And we started investing in real estate. I started my own coaching company and we moved to Newport Beach during that time. So, and then from that, then he started his own lending company and our life has totally transformed compared to what we thought our life would be like when I was 21 and he was 19 when we got married.
Wow.
And we've been together 17 years now. And so it's so different than what we thought it was going to be. But I think that's a part of like trusting the process that God's going to put you through to become the person he wants you to be, right? Because like, listen, if I knew everything I was going to have to go through to be standing here or sitting here on this podcast today, the strong woman that I am, I wouldn't have signed up for it. I would have stayed as an ER nurse.
Yeah.
Because this road has been hard, you know, but it also has been so fruitful. God has used just my coaching method, my live events to change so many people's lives and get them saved for Jesus, you know, so it's all been worth it, but it hasn't been easy. And I think that's important to point out to everybody listening in is that, yes, like I have a lot of, I live a dream right now, but it, you all have that dream too, as you're listening into this right now. And you need to understand that it's not going to be easy because God's going to fortify you in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. The refiner fire. I was just reading about that this morning. Mm-hmm. And every time it's like that cliche saying new levels bring new devils, right? You've heard that. Yeah. We've all heard that. And it's true. Every time the Lord catapults you into the next season or the next calling that he has in your life, like it makes hell mad because you're working for the kingdom and he's not going to like that. So of course the gates of hell are going to unleash and yeah, ugh. We could go down a whole trail about that. But yeah, I mean, I just think that's so beautiful that you have been so faithful to endure that, to endure the trials, to endure the flames as they've come. What was it like for your marriage even in that season of like deciding to step out of the nursing field? And, you know, because there's a lot of people when you get married young, you go through a lot of changes. Your 20s, at least from what I've experienced, your 20s, like I can look back, I'm not the same person that I was when I was 21 or 22. And through that, when you're growing through all of those life changes and those personalities and those just different seasons of life, it I'm sure it can impact your marriage even sometimes too. It can either bring you closer together or it can pull you apart. So maybe speak to that a little bit. What was that like deciding to leave the nursing field and go off on your own? Was it scary? Was it overwhelming? Was he your biggest fan? And what are like some of the biggest lessons that you could take away from that?
Yeah, good question. My husband was just on my podcast right now, and we were just talking about this because it's been so long. It's, you know, this was 10 years ago at this point when I retired from nursing. So it's like a blip in our marriage. But it did cause a lot of issues because when we first got married, we followed the Dave Ramsey method where Chase would give me envelopes. I was in nursing school. So he would give me envelopes and this would be my money for the week, you know? And I was just, that's what I knew. And I was happy and I didn't know anything different, right? So I was thankful for it. And then all of a sudden, we're millionaires. And I'm making the majority of the money. And I remember at first, like he had a huge identity crisis because he was the provider. And all of a sudden, now he can't give me the things that I want because my mind had been expanded. I wanted a bigger house. I wanted the luxury vacations and we could afford it, you know? So he talks about this on the podcast. He's very open because he had to go through a lot of healing and just identity work to find that he was rooted in Christ and not in being a provider and all of these things. So it was definitely hard. We went through a lot of moments where we thought our marriage wasn't going to make it, to be honest, because, you know, we just had different visions, really. And so the one thing I think that always brought us back together and why we never gave up on each other was that from the beginning, we were rooted in Christ.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that made me fall in love with him was how much he loved Jesus. He was a worship, like he would lead worship when he was 17. He'd be up there and I was like, oh, I love you. You know, like I was so in love with him. And so that was always our foundation, right? And when you have a firm foundation, you know, the wind may come and the storms may come, but like you're not going to falter. And that's really been our marriage because we've had so many storms that have come, but we've been rooted in Christ. So we come back together and say, okay, let's keep the main thing. We made a covenant to God. And so we need to change and shift some things around to get this marriage back on track, right?
Yeah.
So when I left nursing, to answer your question, when I left nursing, it was a mutual decision to leave because I was making $1 million a year in network marketing and I was having my third child. And so we decided at that point we wanted to, you know, raise this third child differently where he wasn't going to be left for me to go and work 12-hour shifts. And at the same time, we also decided he was going to leave his family business and we were both going to be stay-at-home parents. Well, work from home parents, right? And so our third child had a very different, you know, stages and toddlerhood than our other kids because we were both home full time, which was incredible. So our vision was to always have a family that loved the Lord and we want to raise strong, independent, you know, beings that contribute to society. And so, you know, Chase has really been able to pour a lot into our kids because he's been home so much.
Yeah.
Now he runs his own company and he works a lot more. But when they were little, it was really a blessing, you know, to be able to have so much time. So that's how we looked at that. But I remember being so scared to leave nursing because, you know, you work so hard for something. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I'm going to walk away from this. Not only did I just like quit my job, I didn't renew my license.
Yeah.
So I was burning the ships to take the island. I was like, okay, if I could do it once, if I could sell this much in protein shakes, I can sell anything I want. I understand the skill of selling online. And so we just went with it. And I'm no longer associated with network marketing or anything like that. I have my own company and my husband does his thing and we have real estate. But it was such a good learning experience for me, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it built so it gave you so many tools in your toolbox of like how to talk to people, how to grow a business, how to scale a business. And that's just that in itself in this day and age is invaluable. Like my story is I was a college dropout. I was going to school. I grew up on a horse ranch, like I kind of briefly mentioned to you, and worked at a vet clinic for 5 years in college and high school. And my dream was to become a veterinarian for equine, for horses. And was well on my way to that 3 years in, dropped out of college and decided to start my own thing. And it was just that entrepreneur, like, I have no idea what tomorrow holds, but we're going to figure it out. And I look back now, that was 11 years ago, just about 11 years ago. And it's been the most beautiful journey and sanctifying, to say the least. And the Lord has taught me a lot. And there have been a lot of hard lessons and a lot of beautiful lessons. And but yeah, it's so encouraging to hear that, like, there's women out there who have done the same thing and kind of like burned the bridges behind them. And there's no plans on going back. Like, we're going to figure it out along the way. And I know this is where the Lord is calling me. And had I not said yes to that, you know, 11 years ago, the lives that I mean, I'm getting the opportunity to impact with my platform on a daily basis, and the messages that I get of women who, you know, have given their life to the Lord, or they've turned away from suicide, or I mean, just these messages have literally made me weep and weep and weep so many days in a row. Yeah, and just knowing that, like, that would have never happened had I not trusted the Lord with that little, small, unreserved yes. And he can do a lot with that.
Yes.
One thing that I know you talk about in your book that I dealt with a lot in that beginning season of really stepping out on my own was the spirit of self-sabotage. That's so real for so many women and even men, which most of my listeners are women. Could you maybe dive into that a little bit? Outside of like just straight up deliverance, you know, what are some practical tools to overcome that cycle?
Yeah. So I think a lot of people struggle with self-sabotage. When people ask me, what's the number one thing that holds people back from success? It's not lack of talent. It's not lack of effort. It's self-sabotage. You know, they are so scared of their own success because they're scared of the unknown, right? We get used to our misery in some way. You know, we get comfortable with it. We're like, okay, these are these familiar spirits that I know. Even though they cause me harm, I know them. And so I don't want to go and try something new. It's like, you know, when Lot and his wife left Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, Lot's wife, she knew the familiar spirits back there that weren't good. They were nasty. And she looked back and she turned to dust. And so we need to use that story as a reminder that what God has ahead of us is so much better than what we've experienced in the past. He has so much more for you. And in the book, I talk about self-sabotage in a way where it's kind of unique for Christians because I talk about this inner child work that I have been able to do, because what I found was, even though I had created massive success in my 20s, I was like a bulldozer. Okay. I was running all over people to get what I wanted. If you were either for Kayla or you were against me, that's how I looked at you in business. And that's no way to look at life and experience, you know, God's goodness in life. And so I wanted to be a Ferrari, you know, I wanted to like get to where I needed to go smoothly in luxury and fast. I like speed though. I wanted to get there fast. And I talk about this analogy where she's my friend. She's a psychotherapist, Dr. Jen, where she explains there's all these versions of yourself. And if you could imagine yourself on a bus and all the different versions of yourself, your 7-year-old self, your 10-year-old self, your 20-year-old self, they're all sitting as passengers in the bus. But who's driving the bus on the way to, you know, make this business decision, write that Instagram post? Who's driving the bus? And what I found in my, you know, 20s was a wounded little girl who was, you know, 8 years old. My mom had just lost our family home. And I felt so alone, so scared. and just very unsure of the future. And so I learned at 8 years old to start controlling people and, you know, manipulating people to get them to do what I wanted them to do so I could feel safe. And that's not going to work when you're in the people business in your late 20s. If you do that, if you treat people like tools, you're going to have nobody in your life. Mm-hmm. And so I needed to take 8-year-old Kayla out of the driver's seat of the bus and put, you know, 28-year-old Kayla, or now I have to have, you know, 36-year-old Kayla driving the bus, making better decisions. I love all those versions of me, but they're, you know, buckled up in the back seat of the bus, not making business decisions. And that's what we need to do in order to get to where we want to go. We always need to be aware of who's making this decision. You know, am I triggered right now? Am I responding to something from my former self, mm-hmm. you know, the old Brittany, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or is it the new one, the one that God has refined and sanctified?
Yeah.
I want to respond and make decisions from the new place, right? Because God's doing a new thing. And so that analogy is super helpful for people because in your mind, you could just go, okay, I'm going to put her in the back seat of the bus. I'm going to put my champion self I talk about in the book in the driver's seat. And we're going to make champion decisions today. And that's one way to beat self-sabotage all the time.
That's so, wow. That's beautiful. I'll have to remember that because I talk about self-sabotage quite a bit. And one thing that I really went through as I started walking with the Lord, I've been walking with him for 5 years now, and that's my testimony. I really went through a lot of inner healing. And in that inner healing, in those sessions with, you know, Holy Spirit and Jesus and the therapist, I saw that the Lord would always take me back to my younger self.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It was like mm-hmm. the 6-year-old version of me, the 8-year-old version of me, the 12-year-old, and there was underlying roots that I had no idea were the driving factors to the way I was acting or thinking that day, or just the season of life that I was in, the things that I had done that had led me into those problems. And getting healing from that and deliverance, I mean, it, and then like hearing you say this analogy, it's so true. And no one talks about it. No one talks about how our inner mm-hmm. child and the younger version of ourselves is what ultimately drives us even today still. And yeah, that's so beautiful. I feel like that just sets someone free in some capacity, because if you've never heard it and you don't know it and you don't have an awareness of it, you don't understand it, right? So,
right.
And it's also easy, I think, too, to get into that woe is me mindset, mm-hmm. the almost mm-hmm. like the victim mentality, like, well, this is just the way that my life is. Like, this is the way my life is always going to be. We've all been there, right? Like when I walked through a divorce at 26 and I remember thinking, well, this is just my life. I'm going to be single forever. And then when I had mm-hmm. a business blow up, you know, and fall out from under me, I was like, well, this is my life. It's going to be how it is forever. And what I didn't know was that that wasn't God's desire for me to have a victim mentality or to sit yeah. in that. He wanted to mm-hmm. pull me out of that mm-hmm. and help me get to the other side of it. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people that do on a daily basis walk with that victim mentality. Could you maybe speak to that and just speak to those mindsets of how to get on the other side of that and how to truly step into who God has called us to be?
Yeah, such a good question, because the enemy doesn't know your future. So he can't keep reminding you of your future. He only knows your past. So he wants to keep bringing it up all the time to remind you of your mistakes, tell you, you know, what you did wrong, and try to bring shame into the game. And shame is not of God. And victims are covered in shame, right? They mm-hmm. think everything is their fault. Like they, you know, in reality, God says in Romans 8:28, it says, you know, whatever the enemy came to mess up in you, you know, I'm paraphrasing this, but whatever he came to destroy, right, God is going to turn it for your good and God's glory. And so when you stand on that promise, your life starts to turn out a little bit different, because there are going to be things that happen to you. Maybe it's the divorce. Okay. Maybe it's the illness. It's the deaths, you know, that you're going to experience in your life. And all of that can either bury you or it can elevate you, because God wants to take your misery and he wants to turn it into your ministry, which is what you've done, right? Wow. You've taken all the junk and the shame that you've gone through and you've made it into a ministry. You're healing people all over the place through just sharing your story, right? Yeah. And so victims, they think they don't have the power, but God gave you authority. Right now, you have dominion over the earth. So you can change your circumstances in just a matter of moments by first changing your perspective. Romans 12:2, it talks about renewing the mind, right? That is a command from God to renew our mind. And so when you know that God has the power to do that in just a second, like this, and you can have a new thought, a new perspective, and you start taking new action from that place, that's what you want to do, you know, is constantly go, okay, how would Christ look at this? I think about those little bracelets I used to wear when I was a kid, WWJD. What would Jesus do? If more of us just started walking around like that, we'd start taking command over things. And we'd call those familiar spirits of shame and we'd say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get the heck out of here.
Amen.
Go back to the pits of hell where you belong.
Yeah.
Because God is doing something new in my life today. And yesterday I may not have gotten it right, but today I'm walking in step with the Spirit, you know, and every step I take is divinely ordered by the Lord. And when you start saying things like that, the enemy is going to go, oh, he's going to keep trying. He will. He'll go, okay, let me try more shame. Let me remind you of more of the bad things you've done. And you got to go, no, I rebuke you again. And you got to watch, guard your heart, because above all else, like guard your heart above all else. Stop scrolling on social media. Stop listening to the true crime podcast. You know, stop doing those things that bring more fear, that make you feel less control in your lives, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're going to go, what? I feel a victory coming today. And it's because you've been reading the word of God. You've been listening to this podcast. You've been filling your mind with testimonies. When you hear other people's faith stories, your faith increases and you're able to go out there and go, you know what? If God did it for her, he can do it for me. And I'm going to go walk in faith. I'm going to stand on the promises of God. And you start getting different results in your life, right? Yeah. So the victim mentality is one that the enemy will use over and over again. Why? Because it works until it doesn't, right? So when you stop letting the victim mentality work and you start going, I'm a victor because I'm here for such a time as this. God could take my breath away at any moment.
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing, right? God can decide right now to take you up off of this planet, but he has you here for a reason. And the reason might be for you to share your testimony today. And I always have this vision of like, okay, if I could just share my story once a day, every day, that is my purpose. People get caught up. What's my purpose? Why am I here? Share your story. Love people, right? You love people well by sharing your story and saying, this is what God did for me today. If he can, again, if he could do it for me, he could do it for you. And if we did that, like imagine all of us Christians doing that every day. Now with the social media platforms, it's we don't just impact one person. We impact millions of people. If we could just commit to doing this every day, how many lives would transform for Jesus?
Yeah. Yeah. And one, and that's the thing is like, he didn't give us our story to keep it to ourselves. He gave us our story to share and testify of his goodness and his mercy and the gospel and ultimately lead people to the cross. And I, for the longest time, I mean, just hearing everything you just said, it really resonated with me because I don't know if you know my story, and I won't dive into it on the podcast because most people know my testimony. But after walking through all the business fallout that I went through in 2019, there were like 2 years where I just lived in such shame. And it was a daily reminder every time there was someone online that was reminding me of like, you messed up. How could you? Like, you're going to hell. I mean, just like the worst things, right? They always say the worst things online. And I just remember sitting there one day, it was just like this revelation of like, no, like God is going to take my mess and turn it into a message. He's going to take this test and this trial and turn it into my testimony. And the more that I learned to speak on it, the more confidence I got, the bolder I got, the more that the words just started flowing. And I realized, like, every time we just open our mouth and share our testimony and share what God has done in our life, it, just like I kind of said earlier on the podcast, it scares all of hell, because they're like, oh, yes, she's starting to understand her authority. She's starting to see the power that she walks in. She's starting to walk in step with the Spirit. And when you do start doing that, like, it breaks off shame. It breaks off that victim mentality. Mm-hmm. And I just want that for everyone, because seeing the freedom that's on the other side of that is just, it's unmatchable.
So good. When you were sharing that, I was thinking about how, you know, in a moment when you repent of being in agreement with shame, right? Mm-hmm. Repent of that immediately. Just say, I repent of that and I receive your forgiveness in full. Like, I think it's really important that we receive God's forgiveness. Sometimes we skip that step. We're like, rebuke.
Yes. Yeah.
But we forget to receive the forgiveness that comes from the Lord. Like, he's like, I understand why you went to that familiar spirit. You know, like, I mean, he has grace on that. And then we're called to replace it with God's truth, right? So what is the opposite of living in shame? It is living in grace. Right? It is like understanding the true gospel. And so even just sharing out loud, John 3:16, like saying that and declaring that over your life, God loved me so much that he sent his one and only son, you know? And really, like, if we believe that, we would walk around so differently, right? We would walk into every room like, God called me to be here today. He called me to be here for such a time as this. And so Know the truth that God says, not what the world says.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. So good. So to someone that is coming out on the other side of the shame and coming out on the other side of the victim mentality, or maybe they're having this revelation, even just listening to this, that they need freedom from that, and they want to step into their God-given calling, what would you say to that girl? The girl that's like, okay, but like, I'm too scared to leave my job. I'm too scared to step out. I know God's given me this word. I know he gave me this dream. I know I have this business that he wants me to start, but it's so comfortable just staying right here, right now. What would you say to just encourage her to take that first step?
Yeah, well, Deuteronomy 28, understand the promises that are for you if you're in covenant with God. And, you know, the first half of Deuteronomy 28 is all about the blessings that come with being in obedience. So if you know God has called you to start that thing, don't delay, because delayed obedience is disobedience, right? So you start now. It doesn't mean you have to leave the job. God gives you wisdom, right? For when the time is right, but start doing that and start doing it with excellence. What does that look like? It means following through on your word. If you said you're going to post tonight, post tonight. If you said you were going to, you know, do a huge Black Friday sale, do the Black Friday sale. Like, follow through on the business plans you make and continue to ask God for fresh strategy for a new, you know, a new thing, because that's what we have that's so special for people who don't follow the Lord. I mean, we have that spiritual, you know, stuff that's happening over here where God's going, okay, hey, everybody is going left, but I want you to go right. And I'm not going to tell you why, but I need you to go right. And I need you to do this. It's like, you know, we just had Palm Sunday at church and Jesus told the people, like, go and find this colt or this donkey and untie it. And he didn't give them any reason why. He just said, go get it. And if anybody asks, say it's for me. And these people had to go and do it. Like, can you imagine actually doing that? But that's what God's calling us to do with our businesses right now, right? He's like, go and do this. Go and talk about me online. Don't make any mention of your business at all, but go talk about me online. And, you know, if anybody asks why you did it, say it's for the Lord.
Yeah.
And then a business opportunity comes, right? A podcast sponsorship comes. Like, all these crazy opportunities come out of nowhere, but they didn't come out of nowhere. They came from God, right? Every good thing is from above. And so when you understand that the way that you do business is going to be very differently than the way the worldly leaders are telling you to move, and you go, I only have to answer to God, then you just stop moving or start moving. And I talk about that. That's step 7 in my book. It's like, what is the next best step to take? Because God's not going to give you all 100 steps to have that thriving business. He's going to give it to you one step at a time. And you just got to keep being obedient, keep being obedient. And all of a sudden you're going to go, oh my gosh, you're going to get on a podcast like I am today. And people are, how'd you do it? And you're like, well, I don't really, you know, okay, here's how I did it. Now it all makes sense why God had me go that path. And so just trust that God has good things for you. Jeremiah 29:11, you know, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. And so when you stand on that promise, what happens? You have a holy expectation that God has good things for you, and you're going to expect good things all around you. And instead of having, you know, fear-based expectations, which is what most of the world holds.
Yeah.
You know? And so I can't stress enough, know the word of God. Know the word of God.
Yeah. Knowing the word of God will give you so much confidence. It's a holy confidence, right? And yeah, you don't have to know the whole game plan. I just recently started a new business back in October of last year that actually spurred from a miscarriage, or we're walking through a trying to conceive journey and haven't had it come forth yet, but we're trusting the Lord's timing and that his plans, you know, are good. But through that, he birthed this new business. And I remember the moment he gave me the vision for it, and I was so terrified, because when people look at me and they look at business, they think, oh, well, she's done nothing but fail, you know? And I knew, I was like, no, if God gave me this, like, he's going to see it through. And it was a matter of overcoming that fear and just taking that first step. And before I know it, here we are almost 6 months in, and it's growing exponentially faster than I ever expected. And it was just a matter of me giving him that little unreserved yes. I always tell people, I'm like, he can do so much with our little yes. And the Bible tells us it takes faith the size of a mustard seed. And that's all I had. I was like, God, I don't know why you're asking me to do this. I don't know what you have planned. I don't know what this is going to look like, but I trust you. And so, yeah, I love that you said everything that you just shared, because I know there's so many women out there who are probably in the shoes that you were once in and that I was once in, of just like, I know God has so much more for me, but I don't know how to get there. And it's okay if you don't know what it's going to look like, because God does, and he's got your back, and he's going to see it through. And so, yeah, one last final thing that I would love to touch on before we wrap this up is toxic positivity. I feel like we see it all over social media. We see it in our relationships every day sometimes. Can you maybe speak to that? I wish there was someone that could have kind of given me a little insight as to even the dangers of toxic positivity and how it can derail you if you're not careful. So to someone that maybe doesn't understand what it is, or they are in the thick of it and they don't know really how to get out of it, could you maybe speak to them?
Yeah. Well, I think just biblically, right? God says there's going to be suffering.
Yeah.
And there will be hardships. So just even, you know, falling into being positive all the time, you're already just accepting delusion and setting yourself up for failure in that moment, because you think it's going to be perfect all the time. And it's not, because God promises. I mean, I feel like in business, if it's not one thing, it's another, but I'm grateful for it, because the bigger like we grow, I feel like the more and more problems I have, but God has made me strong enough to handle it. Just like the failures that you've had in business have made you be able to be successful today. It's not the wins that help you be successful. It's really the failures, you know, because you learn, okay, here's 100 things that we're not going to do this time. And then all of a sudden you're an overnight success, right? So with toxic positivity, it's really like, you've got to accept where you are right now. Acceptance is the first step for transformation. So I talk about this in my debt-free courses, because people will go, well, I don't look at my bank account because I don't want to know what's there. And I'm hopeful that, you know, I'm going to make more money today. And it's like, okay, that's great. But let's also have a plan, right, to get you out of debt, because we got to accept that you're $1 million in debt right now.
Yeah. Okay?
I've helped people get out of that much debt. And they accept, here is where we are. And what's so great about this is then it's only up from here. Yeah. So we can go, okay, let's try some new ways. So acceptance is huge, because then you could take radical responsibility for maybe some of the choices you made to get yourself into that point, right? And that's huge, because a lot of people want to blame other people. Well, I'm in this situation because of her, because of him. And toxic positivity will just say, well, you know, I made some bad mistakes, but, you know, everything's going to work out. And it's like, okay, yeah, like everything will work out, but you're going to repeat a cycle if you mm-hmm. don't change the pattern. So we have to go back to see what are the roots that of your money story that are causing you to make such bad decisions when it comes to money. And then when we can go and see, we shine a light on the boogeyman, I call it. We're going and looking at all the things that we haven't really wanted to talk about, right?
Yeah.
Like I remember when I was 26 and I had made my first $1 million. And I was living paycheck to paycheck. I was living paycheck to paycheck, making $1 million a year.
Wow.
Because I was, you know, raised where, you know, when you got paid on Friday, the money burned a hole in your pocket. Like, get rid of it as quick as you can. Enjoy life. And so that's what I was doing with a lot of money.
Wow.
And we, Chase and I, we had to go to his parents and ask for a loan to be able to pay our mortgage that month. And our mortgage was, by the way, only like $1,200. So that's how like dumb we were. Right?
Wow.
And I had to go back and say, okay, like, do I really like want to keep, you know, spending money like it's burning a hole in my pocket? Mm-hmm. And I looked at the root of why. Why did I have to spend money so quickly and so lavishly? And the reason was because I used to get made fun of for not having cute clothes, for being the poor kid at school. And I realized in my 20s, you know, having $1 million home and driving a G-Wagon, I was still scared that people were going to think I didn't have any money and they were going to make money. So I went and showed it off. I got all the money, you know, in the world. And so then I healed that part of me and gave it to God, you know. And I still like the finer things in life, but I don't do it from a place of I have to do this so people, you know, think I have money. I do it from if I want something, I'm going to get it, right? If it's in alignment, I call it, it has to be in alignment with my goals. And, you know, other than that, like I'm not a designer person. I shop it on Amazon for clothes. Like I don't really care about, you know, designer clothes anymore.
Yeah.
And I'd rather spend my money on real estate, you know, like, so mm-hmm. I found out that like those things don't really matter to me anymore. And it's made myself a lot more free. So I know this is all on toxic positivity and I kind of went on a tangent.
No,
here,
you're good.
But I think it's important for people to understand that there's always a root to why you're doing something. And when you can get to the root, it's really helpful. And sometimes you won't always see the roots exposed. You won't be able to figure it out. But accepting where you are right now and then deciding you want to create a new story around what God is creating in your future is really, really powerful. Instead of just having the toxic positivity and going, you know, and acting like everything is just rainbows and sunshine when really you might be in a bad place and you need to deal with some stuff in order to go up.
Yeah, that's so good. And I also think like too, sometimes that toxic positivity can come from the people around us. And then when you step out to do the thing that God has asked you to do, there can be people around you that are like, oh, you're never going to make it. Why are you doing that? Like you're silly for thinking that you're going to be successful in that realm. And you almost have to learn to truly just like have your ear tuned to heaven and only his voice, because it is so easy to fall into like the toxic positivity or listening to the naysayers, especially on this, you know, in this digital era that we're living in. And so, yeah, there's probably so much more we could get into, Kayla. I feel like I could sit and learn so much from you. It's so evident that you are a businesswoman who is successful and you've learned a lot along the way about not just business and all the things that, you know, come with that, but also your walk with the Lord and how to do that with him. And so I just honor you. And I'm so grateful that you wanted to be on the Chiseled and Called podcast today. And before we wrap up, where can everyone find you? Where can we get your book and give us all the details for that?
Okay. So you can go to kaylacraft.com/book. Let me show you what it looks like.
Yeah. I want to see
really quick. It's so cute.
Oh my gosh.
What do you really want? So yeah, if you go to kaylacraft.com/book and you pick up a book from my website, you can actually get access to our free course that goes along with the book. So I'll walk you through my coaching method on how to get what you really want. And everything is completely faith-based, which is really important to me. You can find me on all the social media channels, CAYLA.CRAFT. And I also have a podcast. It's called The Crafted Entrepreneur, which I'm going to have you come on. So we need to plan that because yes. I'd love to have you on.
I would love that. That would be so fun. Well, I will leave all of this down in the description of the show notes. I always say description box because I started as a YouTuber. I will leave it down in the show notes below. So if you guys want any information on Kayla, go follow her. You can find it down below. Thank you so much for being here, Kayla.
Thank you.
I hope today's episode encouraged you to step out into what God has asked you to do. I know all too well that feeling of what I like to call it as analysis paralysis, where you know that God has asked you to do something, but you overanalyze every possible thing that could go wrong. And before you know it, you've actually talked yourself out of doing it at all. To walk in faith means to walk without being able to see and trusting that God is guiding your footsteps. So here's your confirmation and a sign to do the thing that God has asked you to do. As always, thank you guys so much for stopping into today's episode, and I will see you all in the next one.